Welcome, everyone, to the Story Cafe. My name is Adriana McKenzie, and I am the host of Story Cafe. I thought I would take a minute and just talk briefly about what this podcast is all about before I launch into today's topic. So for those of you who are new to Story Cafe, Story Cafe is a platform where I talk about experiences that I have moving through life. I share my own learnings, my questions, and ideas I have about how to get through life. You know, life is full of challenge, it's full of joy, it's full of adventure, and it's laced with moments where we need more than anything to feel connected so we don't feel so alone in our experiences. So Story Cafe is a space where I try new stories for my own life to make those connections and provide insight. I often have more questions than I have answers, but I do hope that listeners can use my experiences as a jumping off point for their own insights. So really, Story Cafe is a way for me to share what I'm going through. And I have I have my own experiences and listeners have their own experiences. So, you know, I hope that for listeners, they can find something that's meaningful to them. And if not, just enjoy learning about what other people experience. So that's what Story Cafe is all about. So for anyone who's new, welcome. For anyone who's been here since the beginning or joined recently, thank you for showing up. You are always appreciated. Today's episode is all about grief and loss. And for me, I'm recording this episode with a heavy heart, but it feels like the right time to do this episode. These last couple of weeks, I've had a family member who was at the end of his life and then recently passed on. And it had me thinking a lot about grief and loss and how we handle that in our culture, how other cultures handle that, but also thinking a bit about the myths that I think popular culture tells us about grief and tells us about loss. So I thought it would make sense to dive into that today. You know, when you lose someone important to you, it brings up all kinds of feelings and thoughts. And so I've been in that a little bit the last couple weeks. And when someone close to you is at the end of their life, you don't just think about them, but you think about all the people that you've lost before them. So, you know, it's a complex experience. And I've been thinking about this episode for quite some time because I think it's really important, but it never really felt quite right to do it. And so I haven't done it. And these last couple weeks, with all these things coming up, I decided it was the moment. So I wanted to start by dedicating this episode. I don't normally do that. But in my writing of this episode, this is something I thought a lot about. So I want to dedicate this episode to all those folks who have come before us, the people we mourn, the people they mourned, and the people who have come after us and the people who are mourn us too. Because that's what grief and loss is about. It's not just about people, but it is about loss. And I think a really common shared experience, and although people process loss in different ways around the world and in different cultures, we all experience it. And so it can be a really unifying experience too. So for me, what grief is, you know, the loss is what happens, and grief is the emotional experience that comes after a loss. And sometimes in anticipation of a loss. So sometimes we start grieving before we've even lost something or someone. And although, you know, we often think of grief as associated with death, the reality is that we grieve all sorts of losses in our life. We can grieve the loss of a person we know or someone we don't know. We can grieve the loss of an animal we care for, the loss of a building, or even our stuff. I mean, for anyone who's had floods or anyone who's had, you know, fires, losing, you know, mementos and things like that, we can grieve that as well. We can grieve the ending of a relationship or a stage of life. we can grieve the loss of our mobility. So for people who have lost, you know, parts of their health and are struggling, we can grieve that as well. Like anytime we lose something, we usually grieve. And yet in the culture I grew up in, grief was rarely an emotion that we talked about, because grief, it's not one specific emotion. It's really a collection of emotions that are complicated and messy. And so I think it's an experience that for many years was taboo to talk about. I certainly don't remember as a kid anyone ever talking about grief, ever. It's not something I ever remember. People talked maybe a little bit about anger or sadness, but like grief was never really talked about. And when I think back to when I first started to understand the complexity of grief, and that grief was a set of complex emotions that was not just about death, was when I was in my early 20s and I was working for a nonprofit. I think I've talked about it before, but I used to run different types of youth programs. And one of those programs was for young people in the care of child welfare agencies. So, you know, they were youth between the ages of 13 and 16. And they were either in foster homes or group homes, and all of them in and out of, you know, life with their biological parent. And so one of the programs we ran for 3 years. We would spend a week together in the summer, and then on three different weekends, basically every quarter, we would get together and we would do leadership activities, confidence building activities. We would have fun together. 1 year we made this really awesome video. And so this program that I ran, it really was transformative for these kids because they were in it for so long, but we never really knew. So we got funding 1 year at a time. So when we started it, we didn't know it was going to last 3 years. We thought it was going to be 1 year, and then we got more funding, more funding. And what was interesting is that this program, I started to notice things about how kids would interact towards the end of a weekend, towards the end of a week, and towards the end of the year. And what I noticed is that, you know, kids would want to be there, especially after we knew each other for a little bit. But towards the end of either the weekend, the week, or the year, they would start to disengage. They would get grumpy. They would generally behave as if they didn't care about anything. And, you know, I was pretty young. I was in my early 20s. I was learning. I mean, I'm still learning, but I know a lot more now than I did 20 years ago. So I was still kind of wrapping my head around this stuff, right? And I was a young person who had just left care not that long ago. And so as a teen, we did start to notice some of these behaviors, and it took about a year before we started to realize that these kids were struggling with the ending of every single program, and they were going in their own way through a bit of a grieving process, because we were creating this space where they felt accepted, where they had a voice, and they kind of got to escape their life a little bit, and then they had to go back to their regular life after that. And so when we get together, there would always be this weird grieving process in the end. And it took almost maybe a year and a half even before we really started to understand and really think through why this specific group was having this experience, when in other situations we didn't see this as much with young people. And the reality is that for these young people who had potentially been in and out of their home with their family, into foster care, into group homes, they had experienced a lot of loss in their lives and a lot of grief. And for them, the mechanism to shield themselves from those really intense feelings was to kind of shut down and disengage. And so what we started to do in the program was to start pulling the curtain back and acknowledging the feelings, right? Instead of just being, oh, like, you know, like we're having so much fun, just be happy. We started to talk about it. Endings are hard. Transitions are hard. And they're extra hard when transitions and endings have been particularly traumatic for people. And so we started to talk about it. And did it make them not disengage? No, not necessarily. But I think as a community, we were building an understanding of this is a normal process to go through. It's a healthy process to go through. And it's okay that you're having those feelings. And it made it easier for us to program in ways that we could include space for those feelings. We could anticipate that. So we would build that into our program. And so this was really the first time I started to see grief and loss as more than just someone in your family passes away, then you are sad for a while, and then you move on. That's, as a child, kind of how I understood it. And so if we fast forward 20 years, you know, I'm still trying to understand grief as I experience it myself, as I see my friends, my students, my own children experience grief in unique ways. I'm learning more and more about it because I think mainstream media has done a bit of a disservice when it comes to grief. So if you think about the movies or magazines that you've seen where there's a loss, oftentimes they'll talk about the stages of grief. And in many ways, it's kind of framed as this really linear process. It's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. That's how it's framed. That's how I've seen it framed in movies. The reality is that grief is kind of, and I excuse, please excuse this analogy, because it's all I could really think about. It's like a series of landmines, all different emotions that can turn up at any moment, right? So you could experience denial and anger at the same time. You could experience denial, then acceptance, then denial. You could, you know, experience anger, sadness, bargaining, acceptance, all at the same time. And at unpredictable times. And that's why it's a bit like a landmine. I don't know if I've told this story on here about just me destroying a watermelon. Months after my mom passed away, after having shoved down my feelings for a long time, something frustrated me one day in the kitchen. I was home all alone, and I picked up a watermelon, and I smashed it on the floor because I was so angry. And if I've talked about it on here before, let's just say watermelons make a sizable mess. If you've ever had that moment where you're like, oh, I wonder what that's like. Messy. It's really messy to smash a watermelon. And it was just, it felt seemingly out of nowhere. And that's what I mean by landmines. Like the emotions we have related to grief and loss, they're unpredictable. They're not linear. They can turn up at any moment. And then there's also more complex feelings besides anger, sadness, depression. You know, there are more complicated feelings, things like relief or guilt that crop up, right? I can remember when my mom passed feeling relieved that she wasn't in pain anymore, but then guilty that I felt relief because somehow that meant that I was happy that she passed away, which was not true at all. And so, you know, I think it's important to really acknowledge that grief is complicated and it's not one feeling. It's a big mashup of feelings that come up, you know, at any given time. One of the things, I don't cry particularly easily. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not good. But one of the things I do, there are certain songs that will like make me think of, you know, certain people or situations. And if I need a good cry, sometimes I'll really intentionally in the car put that song on and just to kind of like uncap the feelings and let them out. I do think that one of the reasons that we avoid talking about grief is because it is really complex and it is really messy. And sometimes it's one thing to say to someone, I'm mad or I'm angry. It's another thing to say, I'm having all these feelings and I don't know how to put words to them. And they come up at random times when I least expect them. And I don't know what to do about them, right? Like that's not easy. It's not easy to talk about. And so sometimes I think that's why we avoid talking about it. And I also think it's why we have this, you know, kind of linear thought about how it goes, because it's a nice idea that you go through stage one and then you go through stage two and then you go through stage three. You know, we are in many ways a group of people that like order, and we like to know that this feeling of sadness or depression is going to end when I get to this stage over here. And as much as I wish it was that simple, I think it's not. And I think we need to acknowledge that. And I do think it's easier to kind of bottle it up and keep a lid on it for, you know, as a way of controlling it. But that can only last so long. And I think whether you keep those feelings on the inside or you let them on the outside, they're impacting you, right? They're impacting your physical health, your mental health, you know. And I am one of those people. I like to be in control of my feelings. I like to keep them nice and neat on the inside. And grief has taught me that a gift we can give ourselves is to allow ourselves to feel the grief and, you know, look at it, lean into it, you know. So in this past week, when I knew that this family member was at the end of his life, I tried to keep those feelings tucked away, as I do. I'm learning. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. But I started to notice that I was just more anxious, more cranky in other aspects of my life. And in many ways, taking those feelings out on kind of the people around me. So I was less patient with my kids, less patient with my husband. And so in an effort to walk my talk, I opened the bottle of feelings I was having. And I awkwardly said to my husband, "I'm feeling sad that my uncle is dying." In all honesty, it felt really weird. It felt weird to say it out loud. I don't think my husband knew what to do with it because, you know, normally I spend a lot of time talking in circles, dancing around my feelings. I don't often get right to the heart of what I'm feeling. And so we stood there awkwardly. He said something. I said something. And then I kind of walked away. So, you know, it's a work in progress. And I didn't feel any less sadness. If anything, I felt more sadness because I was thinking about it. But I wasn't shoving it down anymore. And instead, I was kind of holding it in my hand, right? I was holding this feeling I was having. I was looking at it. I wasn't hiding from it. And I think when I think about a metaphor for it, I was giving it the power that it deserved. You know, we should give grief power, not power to take over us, but rather acknowledge it's significant to us. Acknowledge that loss is real, that the things we lose are important to us. You know, so instead of shoving it down, hiding it away, holding it, being with it, I think that's the part that can be freeing. You know, with my mom, I just shoved it down because I had to go about my business. I had to be a mom. I had to work. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't know how to talk about it. And in the end, that was not helpful. And it was important to say that I was sad about my mom. Like, losing a parent is such a big loss. And loss is different for everyone. So whatever that big loss is for you, it's a big loss, and it deserves to be acknowledged, not hidden away. I think many cultures around the world have protocols and procedures they follow when a death happens, which usually involve like a set of steps, but also people gathering. And in many of these, you know, rituals or protocols, you know, they're often put in place around, you know, the death of a person. But they really seem to me, from what I see of them, put grief out in the open, not hidden away, right? I think funerals, gatherings, I think it's something we lost in COVID is the ability to gather when we've lost someone. And there's so much we could learn from the cultures that have come before us, the cultures that still exist, about how to acknowledge and grieve, especially beyond just death, right? I've watched people grieve the loss of their health. And that's such a big loss to go from being able to do things you've always done to not being able to do those things. And it's easy to just try to be positive and encourage people to be positive. But sometimes we just need to be with those hard feelings. You know, when we lose a big part of our life, whether it's a person, whether it's a relationship, whether it's an animal, you know, there is an empty space there. And our urge sometimes is to fill the space, right? Fill it with other things, and then it won't hurt so much. But you can't fill those space. The space is filled. It's filled with memories. It's filled with feelings. All you can add more things into your life that give you similar feelings, maybe a similar joy or a similar comfort. But you can't fill the hole because it's not actually a hole. It's filled with stuff. And so for me, when I started thinking about grief and how to do this podcast, that was the thing I think was so important to me wanting to talk about, is this idea that shying away from these really complicated feelings doesn't end up helping any of us in the end. And yes, there are moments you might not want to burst into tears in the middle of the grocery store because you saw a box of cereal that reminded you of that person or the dog food you used to buy for your dog. And so, of course, there are going to be moments when we tuck it away. But it doesn't mean never, ever pulling it out and acknowledging it. When I think of the parts of my life that I have lost, I remember in my like late 20s realizing I didn't want to go to clubs anymore. Imagine that, not wanting to go to the Dirty Dome or the Palace anymore. And I really struggled with it because I did not want to wait till midnight to get all dressed up in high heels that hurt my feet, to drink more than is appropriate. And yet I wanted to hold on to that part of my life. I wanted to hold on to the part of my life that when I was 20, I could do those things and I could laugh and I would see old friends and old people from school and it was fun, but it wasn't fun anymore. And so I really struggled to let go of that part of my life and I had to grieve it. I had to like pull out those feelings I was having. I had to acknowledge them and I had to pick them apart. Like I was trying to understand like, what is it about this time in my life that I wish I had back? Because if I'm being realistic about it, we paint a picture of what that time in your life is like. But it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns, right? It wasn't all roses and, you know, all the wonderful things. There were so many things that were terrible about it. But it was almost like a rite of passage, and it was hard to let go of. And I had to go through that grief process. And I think a lot of people do. I see this when people have kids. You have to let go of what your life used to be like. And if you keep trying to hold on to what your life used to be like, you're kind of in conflict. And part of the way we let go of those things is to acknowledge them, acknowledge the complicated feelings of loving your kids, but really just wanting to not have someone that you're responsible for all the time. It's okay to hold those two feelings. And I think a lot of time that's what grief is. It's having to hold really conflicting feelings at the same time and not know what to do with them. So holding relief and guilt at the same time, having a happy moment with your family, but also feeling like you should be sad because you just lost someone or something. You know, when we choose to kind of stare at those feelings and understand those feelings, no matter how complicated they are, we start owning them a little bit more. And instead of feeling like we're fighting with those feelings, in conflict with those feelings, I think we are better able to kind of just sit with them and be with them. And I've had some wonderful people in my life who have given me some really great advice around some of these things. And one of the hardest things I ever did was, because I don't always take advice really well. I'm better at it now than I was when I was 20. But like many people, sometimes, you know, you get advice and you get defensive about it. And usually when I get defensive, I can say this now, I couldn't 20 years ago, but normally when I get defensive about advice someone's giving me, it's because I know in my heart of hearts that they're right. And I'm mad that I didn't come up with it first. So there's a little truth about me, maybe about lots of people. And so as I've gotten older, I've gotten better at kind of like noticing when that's happening, like noticing when I'm getting defensive. And I do remember someone once saying to me, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was about leaning into those feelings. And I remember being defensive about it first, but then realizing there was a real truth to it. And when I did it, when I lean into those feelings, instead of hiding from those feelings, I feel like, it's hard to explain, but I think ultimately I start to feel more in control of it. Not that I can control what happens, but more like actively involved. It's almost like you're in relationship with your feelings. It sounds so hokey when I say it, and I know it does, but so much of our world is about separating ourselves from our feelings. And like, you just can't do that. Like it's not even possible. And yet so much of our world is about that. So here's my final thoughts about grief, because I realize I'm thinking about it as I talk about it. And so I'm processing as I talk. And so sometimes that means I'm not fully coherent. But here are my final thoughts. Grief is really, really complicated, and we can grieve lots of things. So if you notice you're having all kinds of complicated feelings about something, take a look, journal about it, sit down by a tree, think about it, because it could be that you're grieving the loss of something, whether it's a stage of your life, whether it's something that's happened to you physically, whether it's you lost a person and you're reminded of that. I mean, there's so many things, but I do think grief is one of the most complicated set of feelings we experience. And instead of bottling it up and trying to put it on a shelf, I think hold it in your hand and look at it and let yourself feel the feels. And even if that means like going for a drive in your car and blasting whatever music it is that helps bring that to the surface, feel the feelings. And then you can put them back in the jar, but keep the top off. You know, you don't have to bottle it up and hide from it, because it will find us. I mean, that's the thing about feelings. They will find you no matter what. And so as I kind of move, you know, into, you know, fully processing the loss of my own family member, which will bring up the loss of my mom, it'll bring up the loss of my other family members, and it'll also bring up my own fear about life and death and all those things. That is going to be my goal, is to keep the lid off the bottle, take it down from the shelf, let myself feel the feelings, because that's really important. And hopefully that will allow me to go through the process and go through my own experience without bleeding into all the other aspects of my life, right? Without taking out my feelings on the people around me, which isn't really fair. It's not fair to my husband. It's not fair to my kids. It's not fair to my friends. So that's my goal. And I hope that as you move through the world and experience your own, I mean, we all go through it differently, but, you know, take time to look at it, lean into it, explore it. Don't hide from it, because it will find you no matter what. So that's today's episode on grief and loss. I love coming on here and talking through things, even though I'm by myself. I said this to someone recently. I feel like I'm with all of you, whoever you are. And there's something really comforting about that. So I don't feel alone in all this. So thank you again for listening to Story Cafe. For all the new listeners, thanks for showing up. For all those who have been here for a while, thank you for coming back. Bye for now.